It's Great Mondays Radio, a podcast exploring how work is changing in the age of AI. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping private businesses elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven world. On the show, I speak with executives, people leaders, and other humans rethinking how decisions get made, how managers lead, and how teams are learning to adapt. If you'd like to be a guest on our program, hang out for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you how. I don't know about you, but I am feeling very anxious, and I think a lot of us have been feeling that way for a long time, and AI is here to dial it up for us, and it feels, with this whole looking for the like what the future is going to hold, the current story in our society is one of scarcity. There is not enough. And typically here we talk about not enough jobs. But today I have on the program with us an abundance expert. Zhou Fang is the founder of Intersectional Group, an intersectionality practitioner and abundance mindset teacher. She helps leaders to go through change using the abundance mindset and intersectionality as a way, as a lens for teaching leadership. And I am so excited to have her on Great Mondays Radio. Thanks for coming on, Zhou.
Thank you, Josh, for having me. I'm so excited to be here as well.
So I want to understand, you have this kind of perspective, and it really spoke to me about how we live in a society that prioritizes individuality, and the system makes us think about scarcity. So I want to start at the very basics of just talk to me about scarcity mindset versus abundance mindset. Let's level set, and then we'll move on to applying it, like what's happening now.
Yeah, very good question. Let's just go right into it. Thank you, Josh. I think scarcity mindset, at least from my perspective, is this notion that there is not enough. It feels like our whole world is functioning on this idea that there is not enough for everyone. Therefore, we have to work really, really hard to get enough for ourselves. And as a result, we compete very hard, right? Like if I know this insider tip, I'm going to hold that insider tip. I'm not going to share with you. For example, like say today's job market, right? For example, if I'm looking for jobs and I come across opportunities, of course, I'm not going to share. I'm going to go through them by myself. However, if we think the other way, abundance mindset, what if I share my resources with another job seeker, right? If we both share resources, then we actually have to double the opportunities as we apply for jobs. So I found 5 jobs that are opening now. And Josh, you found 5. Together, we have 10. So if we all go for it, we double our opportunities. So that's kind of like a pretty simplified maybe version of how do we look at scarcity and abundance. Yeah. Scarcity is always think there is not enough for everyone, and then we fight for resources and we hoard resources and still wanting more. And abundance is knowing, believing there is enough for everyone, especially if we share our resources, share our information, and believe if we work together, there is collective abundance.
It feels the narrative that is out in the world right now amongst the working population is there is not enough jobs. And I've had a bunch of conversations and research with folks who are saying it is harder and harder to find work. And it feels like this rule of scarcity is very present and very true. Can you disprove that narrative. I know that's off a big bar, but that's the first thing that I think someone would ask. Or they're like, okay, great idea, Joe. Love the vision of it. But I still don't, I've still applied to 50 jobs and haven't heard back.
I think that's valid, and that's really hard. That's a real life challenge there. And I think we are not alone in this situation. We are not isolated in this challenge. So I think I hope just that idea alone, like we're not alone going through this crisis. Hopefully that can provide some comfort to people. That's for one. And two, after we go through all these applications and to think, huh, why do I keep hitting the wall? We can take a pause, maybe to sit with the anxiety, right? Like, am I applying jobs because I'm very anxious? So I'm just going to apply as a coping mechanism, or I can actually slow down, allow myself to breathe, right? Just to take a pause and to think about what I have been doing and what are the other resources I might not have tapped into. Like, for example, have I asked advice from my colleagues, even from previous colleagues? Have I tapped into my community as a professional network, right? Have I asked my mentor, for example, for advice? Or even just, go to community events just to seek support, things like that. And if things are really like being very shaky or like, oh, I'm running out of money, then can we have that honest conversation with our family? Because we don't have to do it alone. Some people may say, I have to provide for my family, I have to send my kids to college. Then bring them in, get them involved, have a conversation with them, and brainstorm. Because I think people may be surprised how much our family and our chosen family sometimes, the advice they may provide to us could really lead to some very pleasant surprises. So I know the situation right now is really hard, and I invite folks to be comfortable with the discomfort, which is really hard to do. I understand that.
Easy
So,
to say.
yeah, very easy to say. And I have to go through that, myself as well on a daily basis. Is, we are very anxious and we are aware of the situation. Can we allow ourselves just a few minutes a day just to think about why am I doing this? And then have a conversation with people who you trust, who you are very close to, and then perhaps we can figure it out all together. And don't be afraid of going to community, because the thing is, as humans, we want to help. Like, a lot of people don't ask for help because people think, oh, I don't want to burden people, I don't want to trouble them.
Or it's like a sign of weakness.
Or a
If
sign of
it, at least in the West, right? It
right.
feels like I have conversations. One of my good friends is, he's like, I might have to go to my parents to ask for some money, and that's not ideal. But there's the amount of, you could just feel the energy around that of like, it means I'm a failure. And I think as Americans, we have this story about being the, especially let's say for if there's like men in a marriage, right? Like there's the story about like being the provider and the story about, individuality, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And that has never been true, right? But now it that meant that that frame is failing us. It is preventing us from looking at this moment in a new way, perhaps.
Absolutely. I definitely think, yes, the job market is hard. At the same time, we are not alone. We're not stranded in the desert. We are surrounded by communities at all times if we look for it, if we participate, right? People wanting to help, and there is generosity in our like if we're talking about Portland, there's so much generosity in this community, in the local, atmosphere here. So I really encourage people, when you feel like you are desperate or keep hitting a wall, just slow down and turn around, we can always, redirect this conversation or this path to a different angle or a different fork,
How should we? So, I think the other part of the moment that we're in that is driving this anxiety. It's kind of a 2x anxiety of like, I might get fired, I might not be able to find another job, but there's also the change that is happening or about to change and the change that's about to happen. When we think about AI as a, let's just use it as a proxy for change, we have less of a clear view of what is coming than ever before because the future is coming so quickly, let's call it. How should, if we are going to practice an abundance mindset, how should we think about the uncertainty that technology, AI, is providing or is causing right now?
Yeah, that's such a good question and hard one. I remember when I was watching Black Mirror, the level of anxiety, I was like, we are so screwed.
Listener, do not, if you have not seen that and are not in a good mental place about it, it's a fantastic show. But oh my gosh, it is so incisive. So please continue. Yes, Black Mirror, it's amazing. Don't watch it.
And the thing is, we can avoid it. And whether or not you believe Black Mirror is really a prophet or is it like a future teller?
Yeah.
I do believe, AI is here. AI is everywhere. And I also want to perhaps most importantly remind myself and folks who are listening or feel also the anxiety around AI is that AI is not necessarily here to replace us. Like, it's not necessarily our enemy. It's a creation. It is created to do something with human. And I really, like right now, as you said, Josh, it's very foggy. It's very hard to see clearly where we are going. At the same time, we are not helpless. We are humans, and we're still, sorry about the dog. And we are still driving the traffic, right? So it really is up to us, how are we gonna direct these kind of AI, the next generation of AI in our life, I think. And to be a little bit more specific is that instead of seeing AI as the other, as the opponent, we can perhaps see AI as a member of our community, as the society, and AI as a partner, perhaps, in our life. And I know that's really hard to hear. I will perhaps give an example. I recently interviewed someone who's leading an AI forward company. And they use AI to create or to help creators with their content. And I asked them, how do you see the relationship between AI and human race? And their response was very interesting. They said, I love fictions, I love novels, and I would read certain authors' books over and over. But if I imagine if there was an AI agent that can create the same kind of genre and content over and over, would I want to read it? And my immediate response is, no, I do not want to read that. I do not want AI to be the author. I want humans to be the author, but I want AI to be the tool to assist human to create art, to help with technology, to help with, for example, climate, which is another paradox, obviously, that we're still figuring out. But AI does not have to be the, you know, definitive enemy to the human species. And I will also add, you know, like looking at the long history of humanity, we have always prevailed. We've gone through so many revolutions, so many changes, and sometimes are like very nerve-wracking ones, right? Like in the past, people, maybe only just 40 or some years ago, people were like, oh, computer is going to replace humans. And that still hasn't happened.
Yeah.
We are still everywhere, and people can say, oh, how do you know this time? I don't know, of course. But the thing is, I think we as humans, we have a tendency to preserve what we have. We have a tendency to
to want to keep this, the to where we have certainty is very comforting. And what is 100% more knowable than what could be. And to me, there is this, or what I understand is there's a biological instinct to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean the future is less safe. It just means that it's different, but we don't know that. And that is why we have this constant battle with technology specifically, right? Mm-hmm. So when we think about the resistance to the Gutenberg press in the 1400s, the resistance to the story of the Luddites breaking into factories and breaking machines because it was taking hand weavers' jobs, the resistance we have to the electricity or horseless carriage or the computer. And then the spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
These are all moments that are have changed society in a way that is in unknown ways, which is why, to different extents, there are kind of revolts or resistance to these moments, and it's expected. And so that's when you're talking about, think about AI as a member of society. I think that I don't know if I agree with the framing exactly, but the lens you're looking through is correct, which is, it is not something that is enacting, it shouldn't be seen as something enacting on us, but can be a tool that we can use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think it's a tool. Like, it's not a replacement. And I think in the process, some jobs will be replaced by AI. And that's the reality. And for folks who are losing jobs because of that, I think right now the situation is really, really hard. At the same time, I really would advocate. And I'm not saying this as like, oh, you don't know nothing, right? You are not in this. It's easy for you to
Mm-hmm.
say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that because I believe it. I believe that people who are going through it have the opportunity to see this like, oh, maybe it's time for me to learn something new, right? If my current job is being taken away by AI or like automation, then what is already in my toolbox that is irreplaceable, at least for now? I am going to look into my vault, into my toolbox, and see what are the other skills that can help me get through this. And chances are, we probably do have those skills already. So for folks who lost jobs because of like AI, like say AI took away my job, one, I'm not saying that is right, because a lot of employers and businesses, they don't think through the process. They just think, let's try it and see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's just
throw the
spaghetti on the wall and see what happens. And then what happens? People, the companies are hiring people back right now.
Yep.
So I'm not saying this process is right or ethical, or feel like it feels awful. But as individuals, we do have the initiative and the agency to be like, let's look at what I have now and to think about how can I pivot? How can I utilize the resources I already have? Go into your garage, dig deep, and see what are the tools that we still have to get us through this and learn something new. I think it's a great opportunity for people to learn to pick something new right now.
So here are some of the kind of wisdoms that I'm gaining from our conversation. One is both to look deeper into our own selves as humans to discover kind of what is valuable about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I recently did this exercise with a community where I had them write their own, everybody write your own career obituary and reinvent or rediscover what makes you you, because you don't know what you're going to be selling or work, where you're going to be, like, what are the core capabilities that you have? But then you're also saying, pair that with looking forward. Here's this opportunity, this time. And for folks that are a little bit later in their career, like me, where you're like, oh man, like I got to learn, I got to like, I, you know, I already put my time in, you know what I mean? Like I already did it. But, you know, I think if we learn anything from these previous disruptions, it's look at how you can reinvent yourself. So backwards and forwards are inwards and outwards, let's say. And then the other key piece, which resonates for me, and I think I kind of discovered it also on my own path, and then you said it again, which is, don't do it alone. Don't, there is, you don't have to tough it out, nor should you. That is not how we, and let's broaden this even further, how we have succeeded as a human race.
Yeah.
Individuality is not our strength. That's not why we win, right? It's about our communities.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tell me if I'm missing anything. So you were talking about family, talking about chosen family. So your good, your deep friendships, community, work, previous work colleagues that you've built trust with. I don't know, a broader social community. Where else can we look?
I mean, there are a lot of like organizations who may be providing like, say, webinars right now for job seekers. And there are a lot of like recruiting companies or like recruiters, you know, in Portland area, at least they regularly host like workshops or webinars, both online and in person, for job seekers to come together and get advice and just to support each other and be there for each other. Like say, hey, I see you, I hear you. Oftentimes recruiters will be at those events, and that's a great opportunity to have a conversation with those folks because they are at the front line seeing what jobs are going away and what jobs are becoming available. So I would definitely encourage folks to go to those events that really focus on job seeking opportunities and challenges and have a conversation with folks who are in this with you.
So the last thing that I want to touch on when we're thinking about abundance and pushing forward is not just looking for other work, but and it's kind of in this learning new skills, but I believe there's going to be a lot more entrepreneurialism in small individual companies coming out in the world. And I wonder, how do we think about, for someone who's never, what is the abundance mindset? For someone who has never, I guess, worked for the self or created something for themselves. I mean, that is probably one of the most scary things to do. You're like, uh-oh, not only can I not jump to another ship, I have to build my own boat.
I think a lot of people growing up have had this idea, you know, I want to build something on my own. I'm gonna be my own boss. Like growing up, my dream was to have a book cafe, yet to happen, but it's possible. So I'm not gonna say, you know, go ahead and rent that space and, you know, put yourself in debt. I'm never gonna say that. What I would advise folks who have an idea, like say, maybe I can build this. Think about, first of all, why? Are you building something new just for the sake of building something new so that you feel like you have something to do? Or you genuinely think this is a problem that you can solve? Or by doing this, you are actually supporting your community and doing something that's actually meaningful, both financially and socially. So think about the why and think about, are you solving a real life or real world problem? Are you just doing this and see how it's gonna work, right? Really have that conversation with yourself. And two, again, talk about it with your family, with your community, and see if this is viable. Like say, I'm just like making up an example that's like a traditional family setting, right? There are a lot of scenarios in community. Say I as a, you know, director of marketing at this company, and I'm losing this job, and I'm gonna lose, I don't know, 150K month like income to the family. Then perhaps have a conversation with your partner and with your children even. Say, hey, we are losing this income, and we have this much money to go through this next phase. And let's look at our numbers and see what are the resources we can tap into and see if that resource is enough to get us through the next at least 9 months. To think about that and see realistically if you can do it. If you can, great. You have your family buy in, you have your maybe even your parents buy in. Perhaps they are your initial investor even. Perhaps they can help you with the initial money to get it started. But really to have that honest conversation with people who live with you, who are very, very connected with you, to see if this is a viable idea, at least for the next 9 to 12 months. And then if that's okay, a green light, go for it. And if it's not, then maybe it's time to think about, I'm gonna table that for now. It doesn't mean I don't want to do that again later, but for the next 6 months, maybe I will be able to find something temporary, right, with my skills. If you are director of marketing, can you be a freelancer? Are you good at writing? Are you good at social media? Are you good at writing long form? For example, do you want to start a Substack, right? Like, see if there's something, anything in the interim that you can do. And I'm not gonna say love doing, but be okay with that. Can I accept that next 6 to 9 months?
My personal experience this year, as I've looked to deep inside myself and also outside and to reinvent, is thinking about 2026 has been my year of small experiments. And
Do that.
I started my Substack, I did a started a second podcast. I'm re changing the way I work with clients. I'm looking at offering new things. And it's a really interesting mindset to go out as an experiment. Now, there is that sort of like scarcity crisis, I gotta make money now sort of moment. But I think if you, that is one way to approach it, is say, okay, I'm gonna put a couple bets, small bets on the table and see which ones are starting to get traction. And I think there's some, real wisdom in sort of, I think this kind of diversification where you're not just yourself thinking about one thing, it's like your team thinking about many things is probably, might be the abundance, one way to kind of imagine an abundance mindset in this moment.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely try to be creative. think of different ways to get through this time, like specifically talking with people who are close to you, people who you trust. And if you have like a cool idea that you want to start a business, then also have that honest conversation with people and see if this is a viable thing to do for the next 9 months to 12 months, I think. And again, this is not to say it's a solution. And like you mentioned, Josh, it's an experiment. But the point is, as hard as times are now, we're not out of hope. Like, we still have hope. Because if we look around, how many people like us are trying every day?
Mm-hmm.
We're not paralyzed by this challenge that's thrown at us or that we ran into. We may say, oh, this is so unfair. And I agree, this is not fair. At the same time, hope lives in action. So if we actively act on things that we can do, then I think there's hope. And hope is a wonderful thing. It can really pull people through so many challenges in this life. And again, I want to mention, you know, we're not alone, like you said, Josh. Like, just look around, everyone's trying. And if we are just a little bit more courageous and say, hey, I'm struggling now, can I join you? I think, you know, many people may find that very, very helpful. And good things will happen, I think, if we keep that hope alive and act to it.
You are starting a community or a course on abundance. Tell the folks what you're doing and where they can find this, learn more and join.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So my focus right now, and has been really, is abundance and the abundance mindset. How can we come together and build a village of abundance? So this new program is going to be in video form and also going to be audio form. And down the road, we'll probably have more kind of interactions with folks and have, like you said, workshops. And we already had a couple of workshops that focused on abundance and the abundance mindset. They are at like small scale, but we are already, like you said, experimenting with it. And we are seeing really good feedback. People really enjoyed it. But going back to the new program, I'm going to launch a new video program. It's called Abundance and Abundance with Joe. So Abundance with Joe is going to be launched on my YouTube channel and also Substack and other platforms as well in the very near future.
Amazing. So you can learn more about Zhuofeng at youtube.com/@intersectionalgroup is where you can find her. She's the founder of Intersectional Group. She is an intersectionality practitioner, abundance mindset teacher, consultant, and coach, helping leaders go through change using these as frameworks, which I have found tremendously valuable, even just in this brief conversation. Thank you for lowering my anxiety just a little bit.
just a little bit. Maybe I raised anxiety for a lot of people. I don't know. It's
all
hard.
Right. It's hard to say. Well, we'll keep trying. Zhuofeng, thank you so much for coming on Great Mondays Radio.
Thank you, Josh. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to Great Mondays Radio. Hey, if you want to be a guest on our program, head over to radio.greatmondays.com and fill in the application. Have a friend you think would find this episode interesting? Send it to them. And while you're at it, rate and review. It really helps. I'd love to connect. Send me an email, josh@greatmondays.com. And if you're interested in learning more about how I help private businesses elevate how teams operate in an AI-driven world, check out greatmondays.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.